This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time now for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer. Matt, Christ and all, it's good to have you back.
Hi, Hal. Good to see you.
And even though the year is still really just getting started, we're already talking about Westminster and the impact RNIB is having on government.
Yeah, no, we've been keen to really try and hit the ground running in January. You know, obviously the government, UK government, trying to really get hold of the agenda. We've had, you know, information on waiting lists. We've had the Casey review on social care. A lot of activity around the economy. We need to see this as our moment to really carry on trying to inform and influence. And I think a couple of things just to maybe pull out from the sort of parliamentary sort of field this week would be Julie Minns, one of the new MPs, who basically got sort of lucky in the ballot to be able to present her sort of 10-minute rule bill, which is an opportunity for MPs to have a platform to talk to something they're keen to try and get some legislation through. It doesn't always follow that the legislation follows, actually, but it is a platform by which they can raise issues that are close to their heart. And she, had basically sort of been picked up information from us and was basically pushing through a bill around the accessibility of elections. And as we've been working for years, and we've spoken on the programme many times about all the work we've done with our turned out reports around trying to improve the experience of blind and partially sighted people to vote, in secret and individually in elections. And Julie stood up this week in Parliament with her opportunity with a 10-minute bill and spoke very persuasively to that. And I think the thing we were heartened about actually was the cross-party support and the reaction in the chamber to how she was describing it and how she's describing the challenges and the fact that people couldn't vote in secret with a high degree of sort of shock and surprise. So I think whilst she might not get the legislation through, it was great she had the platform to raise this. It only helps, as we keep pushing. And the cross-party support we felt was really encouraging as well. So that was a good thing went on. And then we've been doing lots of work, as listeners know, around eye health and the eye care support pathway. And it was great to see a couple of other parliamentarians, Karen Smith, who's a minister in the DHSC, and Edward Argar, who's a Conservative, both talk to and reference the RNIB and the eye care support pathway work as being a really solid piece of work, which, has lots of potential to be implemented to really support, that eye health pathway and patients moving through that pathway when they generate an eye health diagnosis. And we were particularly encouraged, I think, by Karen Smith, the minister, talking to it, because, clearly she would have had a brief sort of prepared, not only from her own knowledge, but also from the civil servants. And to have the civil servants, obviously feeding this in shows that we have landed on their radar. It's a piece of work they know and understand and rate, to want to reference it publicly. So it just reinforces the work we've done and gives us further encouragement to keep pushing sort of down that route. So I think there's a couple of good things from the RNIB in parliamentary context this week.
And staying with healthcare, this week the NHS shared parts of its 10-year plan in London, many organisations involved, including RNIB.
Yeah, well, it was a partners meeting. They're probably halfway through health developing the plan. I mean, they've gone very public with West Streeting wanting to create this plan and setting May this year as the date by which, this work will be done. And there's a big exercise up and down the UK, to listen and to engage. I think they said on Wednesday they've had something like 1.4 million, submissions to this. And we were one of about 200 organisations in the room, combination of charities, Royal Colleges, patients groups, doctors unions, you can understand who was in the room, all taking part in this 4-hour meeting to give us an update on where they were, how they were doing, but also a chance to discuss some topics and feed in the room on the day. The meeting was hosted by a lady called Sally Warren, who's a very eminent civil servant who's running this programme for the government. And West Streeting was there for the first half, talking and then taking questions and participating. And at the end of the afternoon, Amanda Pritchard, who's the head of the NHS in England, sort of finished the session with her remarks. So, it was a heavyweight session in terms of who was in the room. I think it reinforces the point that they are genuinely listening, albeit, you can imagine there was lots of views in the room and it must be a very difficult exercise to synthesize them all and prioritize. But I think I came away encouraged actually by the fact that a lot of the language being used back to the room absolutely chimed with what we've been saying as the RNIB, trying to focus on things like waiting well. If you develop an eye health diagnosis, trying to focus on smoothing out data flows so patients' information can move more seamlessly through a sort of pathway. And for example, that focus on primary care and trying to sort of keep people out of hospital and out of clogging up the system by using, you know, primary care as a much better sort of triage system. And, you know, we've been pushing to use, you know, high street optometrists and charities to do a better job of helping in that primary care. So a lot of what they were saying generically chimed with what we've been saying. And I've come away quite buoyed up, actually, to really make sure we push those points that I think are very relevant to this sort of 10-year plan work. So good meeting. Obviously more to do. We need to make sure we carry on getting our voice heard as the plan sort of comes to fruition in May.
And thinking closer to home, RNIB hosted the Shaping the Future of Volunteering group in the Grimaldi building earlier this week, aiming to make volunteering more inclusive and accessible.
Yes, that's right. It was a really good session, actually. It was on Thursday morning of the week we're in. We hosted for a couple of hours about 35 CEOs from different organisations who have very large and strong volunteering elements. So people like the National Trust, you know, the Lifeboats, Scouts, Guides, Youth Hostel Association, variety of charities, Guide Dogs, ourselves, Age UK, Sea Cadets. You know, you can understand who was in the room. And we've been working together on, you know, the national sort of picture on volunteering for some time. People will remember, you know, the big help outs in the summer that we've run for the last sort of few years, trying to get people more involved in volunteering. So, you know, a lot of quite energetic work's gone on with more to do with the new government and keep maintaining those strong royal connections, actually. But what we had the chance to do on Thursday was to sort of showcase accessibility. We had two brilliant Blind and Partially Sighted volunteers from RNIB. We had Jake, who works on Gillette Radio. We had John, who's a sort of Tech for Life sort of volunteer support, came and talked about their own personal journeys and how they got into volunteering and how, you know, with the right accessibility support, you know, you can have blind and partially sighted, and this point is made for broader sort of disabled people, you know, can be very, very active and completely form volunteers in your organisation. I think is a really strong message to organisations who might not think about accessibility that much, about their own processes and sort of onboarding processes and recruitment processes of volunteers, to think a bit more widely about how they might engage you know, disabled people and particularly blind and partially sighted people into their volunteering sort of cohort. So it was a really good hour of us being able to make that point to that room full of sort of 35 people this week in our London office.
Great to hear. Well, of course, the helpline is still available for any questions you might have about RNIB services or information. You can call 0303 123 9999. Matt Stringer, Chief Executive of RNIB, Diolch yn fawr iawn I chi. Thanks again for your time this week. Always great to catch up, and thanks for speaking to us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Hal, and good to talk to you. I think some really quite interesting things this week, and you know, some of the RNIB being very woven into lots of quite important national conversations at the moment. So thank you for having me.